At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Football on Off the Ball
with Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, Scottish Premiership and much more live on Sky Sports.
Well, Brancher, I think we can chalk that up as an extraordinary afternoon at Old Trafford. Liverpool 5, Manchester United 0. Absolutely cut United apart in that first half, and United more than played their role in helping them.
Yeah, so Manchester United had a big opportunity early on, Joe, when Fernandes was played in on the right side of the goal, but he blasted the shot wide, and you know, 6 minutes in, they're behind and struggling with Jota's goal, or sorry, Keita's goal, and it just went from bad to worse after that. But Liverpool, you have to say, were very good. They played through the Manchester United press, which had been discussed all week. A lot of people have been talking about it. I've been analysing Manchester United's matches in the Champions League, particularly closely against Young Boys, against Villarreal, and during the week also. And I kind of recognised that they were, to a degree, Ronaldo was part of the problem. They can't really press opposition because you can't press with a man short. And that was part of the problem on the first goal. But after that, you just say that Liverpool were ruthless and clinical. But their passing was deadly. The accuracy of the passing, the work rate. And they just overran Manchester United in the midfield area. They go in 4-0 down at half-time. I thought it was bad enough that they might go in 3-0 down. Once again, Mo Salah scoring goals. Different goals today, though. Like, they were kind of standard first-touch finish stuff today rather than the magician-type stuff we see in the last couple of goals he scored in league games. Dancing, twinkling feet. But they were just miles too good for them today, Liverpool, overall. And I suppose the surprising thing is that Manchester United have been well warned. It's not like Liverpool's form has been up and down, inconsistent, chopping and changing the team. They've been in this form since the start of the season. A couple of draws, couldn't beat Chelsea when Chelsea were down to 10 men. Failed to beat City in what was a sensational match between two great sides. And of course, Brentford, high scoring draw with Brentford. But you know, even in those games and in the other five league games, they've been top class, scoring with gay abandon, you'd have to say. And Champions League form has been excellent too. So they've been well warned, Manchester United, but they just didn't seem to be set up right today. Didn't look like they wanted to work hard enough. They started like some of them wanted to work hard enough. Bruno Fernandes chased around a bit. Greenwood and Rashford a bit more, but ultimately they were outplayed by the better team. And if that's because the better team were more organised, more disciplined, know their roles more clearly and can deliver the efficiency that's required to get a result like that, well that's what it is. But you have to look at Manchester United and analyse why. And any analysis has to come back to putting pressure on the manager and the staff that the team isn't either prepared well enough tactically or motivated well enough for the task that was in it today. And, you know, they're the sort of things that the Manchester United leaders and board are going to have to consider over the next few days, because Solskjaer has to be under severe pressure after that performance and that result.
The point you make about the potential for this kind of result coming was made by many others. Paul Scholes midweek, even after United had come back and won the game against Atalanta, still maintained that based on what he was seeing out there, Jurgen Klopp would be rubbing his hands. He just didn't like what he was seeing from United out of the ball. You could say Solskjaer tried to react to that to a degree by putting Pogba on the bench and going with Fred and going with McTominay. And I would have presumed 5-10 minutes in, he's scratching his head saying, well, what do I do now if we're this open?
Yeah, I think Paul Scholes' comments were at half time when Manchester United were losing.
He stood by them at full time.
And Pogba. Yeah, to a lesser degree. I mean, he made the point that many of us, I'm not putting myself up there with Paul Scholes by any means, but many of us have made the point that Manchester United are too often having to depend on magic moments by some hugely talented players. But I would say that the sum of the parts is not effective enough and is a failure at the moment. You look at the squad of players, and with the exception of maybe saying you could do it another option in the middle of the field, another holding player, a N'Golo Kante type player, or even a Jorginho type player that can link the play up and fill in holes in there, the three players that Chelsea have for that position in the middle of the field, or the players that Liverpool have for that position in the middle of the field, be it Henderson sometimes, be it Fabinho particularly, and other clubs have. But only in that area would you say they're short.
Yeah.
The options they have in all other areas, you're saying, they have enough talent to compete. But they also, they need to be getting beyond that now with the spending, the John Dugan mentioned over £1 billion been spent in recent years.
That's why it's getting so sticky for Solskjaer now, because the initial parts of the job were about getting players he didn't want out and getting better players in. And there was a degree of progress about the thing in a sense. Well, transfer window on transfer window, things are moving in the right direction. This is probably the season where, not least when Ronaldo pops up just before that Newcastle game, people are saying, well, right, he's got enough here to challenge and to do something. And it's at that very point that things have fallen apart a little bit. So it's hard to see Solskjaer surviving this.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I don't think there's any escape for the moment. I mean, I've been supportive of Solskjaer. I'm generally supportive of managers. I don't know whether that's because I did a bit myself in my time. But I generally don't like to see the crowd coming after a manager or the media coming after a manager who, you know that every manager works terrible hard in their job to do the best they possibly can. Now, when you get to the stage of Manchester United, you have to have one of the best managers in the world because it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. The expectation levels should be high. I pointed out earlier, they haven't won the league since 2013. They haven't won anything in the last few years. 2017 was it, the Europa League, beat Ajax in the final, lost in the semi-final since, lost in the final too. I think going back to your man you talked about earlier, Paul Scholes said we shouldn't even be playing that competition because we shouldn't be getting knocked out of the Champions League. And he's right with the traditions of this club, the history of the club, the amount of money that's been spent. So I think, sympathy for Solskjaer is going to be a bit scarce now because Manchester United supporters who've been very supportive, very loyal, and even the end of the match today, you saw them be on the Stratford end clapping. I'm not sure for what, but they didn't seem to get into a chorus of boos. But they have to be looking at it, and with a frustration level that's zoomed to an astronomical scale after getting beat 5-0 by your bitterest of rivals, I'd say, even much more so the Manchester City. Getting beaten like that, they have to be looking at it with a level of impatience that I think is going to be just too much.
Yeah.
Unless they leave him at it and he suddenly, hits a stride in the next few games. But on today's performance and recent performances, that looks very unlikely. I think there could well be a lack of discipline in that team that is going to make it impossible for this manager to get the results that's required. And by that, I don't mean Pogba's tackle, Ronaldo's tackle, or Bruno Fernandes' tackle, all three that probably warranted the red card. I mean in their attitude to the game, their attitude to their teammates, their body language, the intensity of their running, which I think is the first point I'd have to make if I look at them in comparison to the other top teams in English football. It's just not at the same intensity as the other teams. They don't sprint enough. They don't run enough. They're not aggressive enough to win the ball back. And not the type of aggression we saw when Ronaldo was kicking Curtis Jones on the end line, or Bruno Fernandes' tackle along the touchline, or the one that ultimately got, you know, Keita taken off on a stretcher. I mean, aggressive in a fair way, physically aggressive by hounding players into corners that they find it hard to get out of. They force misplaced passes. We didn't see that today. Didn't see that from Liverpool. Not long when they had 11. They weren't able to do it when they had 10. But when it was 11, it was too easy for Liverpool. Too many passes. But then individual mistakes, lack of communication. Shaw, Maguire, awful. Lindelof, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, all out of position on the second and third goals. Dreadful, dreadful defending, but not enough help from the midfield players either. So it's very unsatisfactory position Manchester United to be in, yes, so early in the season. And I fear that it may not get much better for them, and that Solskjaer days may be over.
Simeone never shakes anyone's hands. Back down the tunnel, let's not bother with that crap.
I've got a lot of respect for that.
I knew you would.
I've got a lot of respect for that.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream, wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
That lack of discipline you talk about is an interesting thing. And I know you're talking again about discipline in the form or in the guise of work rate, that honesty of effort, I suppose, that you want to see in a team. You can almost, I'm not excusing it, but you can almost understand that kind of arrogance maybe against lesser teams, and even against a Leicester, not that Manchester United have any right to go out against Leicester and play that way, but against Liverpool, when they're under a bit of pressure and the manager's under a bit of pressure, to put in that level of work rate, that suggests there's something a touch rotten there or a touch broken there.
Yeah. I think, you know, I feared a little bit for them in signing Ronaldo that you were getting another player, one of the really great stars of world football, who carries in a lot of ego with him. But you've already got Cavani there, who would have, not quite in the same scale, but definitely a world star of football, incredible goal scoring record at lots of different clubs. And Cavani was kind of a bit player until he really got fit last year. And they had to persuade him to stay on. He didn't sound like he really wanted to stay on. But they persuade him, and then he doesn't end up in the team. But you've got, you know, those two. Bruno Fernandes, who's obviously been the main man, scored goals to beat the band, setting players up, been brilliant, really, you'd have to say, since he's come to Manchester United, come in halfway through a season, he's had a couple of great seasons, but now he's kind of been overtaken as the star by Ronaldo's. They haven't worked that well together playing for Portugal. I had that in my head. How is this going to work, Manchester United? You've got Martial, who's out of the picture, he's probably injured today, but another big money signing when he was a young player, hasn't really gone on to do it. You've got the younger players. You've got Lingard coming back after having a great season at West Ham and scoring, whatever it was, 8 or 9 goals for them. He comes back, they keep him, they don't sell him. They signed Sancho, who they've been chasing for a couple of years. And then you've got Rashford and Greenwood, who are outstanding young players, biting at the bit to be in the starting 11. And just so many players with different stages of the career fighting for those spots up there. But whatever mix they're getting, and he's picking and putting on the pitch, they're just not doing it. And you can't say, well, we've got great forwards and we get the ball to them, we win the match. The game is not like that. We see, like, the most obvious examples are just down the road, Manchester City. They have no centre forward, and yet they're beating teams out of sight. And why is that? Brilliant team, brilliantly coached, incredible work rate. I just watched them even in yesterday's game. And when they lose the ball, the intensity of the running, of the sprinting, Bernardo Silva, to try and get the ball back, they're all at it. There's no sense of, I'll leave it to somebody else. There is, you look at Liverpool the same. Look at Chelsea. One other point I'd make about the body language of Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes, in particular, they're the two that I would fault. Do you think that they'd get away with that, with their behaviour in the match today under Chelsea's manager? Under the Liverpool manager, under the Manchester City manager, under Rafa Benitez, even at Everton. You know, I don't know if even Dean Smith or Aston Villa would put up with it. I don't know that many managers who would let that go, that would happen again. Now, what's happened, we've seen a few little things where Ronaldo walking off down the tunnel when they lost the match, Ronaldo having the hump because he was brought on, didn't start the match. we've seen Bruno Fernandes throwing his hands in the air before because he didn't get the right pass or someone didn't make the right run, or when he did a bit of a press, he looks behind him. It's not like that started today. So that stuff needed to be nipped in the bud, and it hasn't been. And because of that, the manager's standing with the rest of the players is weakened, because they're looking at that saying, those two boys are getting away with it. They would recognise they're brilliant football players, but they would also recognise a weakness in the manager, that he allows that to happen without nailing it and saying, I'm not having that. If you have any more of that, and you will be on the bench beside me for a considerable amount of time. And then you see that the player's behaviour and attitude changes, because it's just not good for the team. You can have the odd maverick in the team, and sometimes you have to put up with him because he produces moments of magic and wins the game for you. But if it then becomes an issue through the team, and others are lessening their effort because of how they're behaving and their lack of graft, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And I think that contributed to the type of performance we had today.
A last point then, Liverpool are now 20 matches unbeaten. They're continuing to score 3 goals or more away from home at every turn. Caught our eye this afternoon when Klopp names 22-year-old Konate in the starting lineup at Old Trafford, just his second start. He comes through just fine. He can afford to keep Mane on the bench. Jota does very well, so there's a bit of strength and depth there. They're missing some midfielders. I think we can say they're going to be in this title challenge to the end now. People weren't sure what Liverpool would pitch up this year. I think we have our answer by this stage.
I hadn't a lot of doubt. I just wondered how they'd be without Wijnaldum in the middle of the pitch, because they didn't sign any obvious replacement. And you know, you look at Liverpool, the players they have signed, it's generally, I mean, they had to react to the centre-half crisis last year. They signed Quebec, wasn't it, on a short-term loan. There were really, it was real crisis without Gomez, Matip, Van Dijk, all out at the same time. And it was really serious situation. But in general, their signing seemed to be very well assessed, targeted, and the character side of it seems to be looked into very deeply. Are they suitable for the style? What's required to play for Liverpool? And I would say that the very first criteria is, does he break his ass for the team? That seems to be the first. If you're an attacking player, gifted at scoring goals, fair enough. But unless you're prepared to work really like Jota does, Jota, Jota commitment was, and he's at it. But he was at it for Wolves as well. So Mane is obviously doing it, Salah's doing it, Firmino does it. But whoever comes in, and I think they were content that Curtis Jones was going to be good enough this year to make up for Wijnaldum. And I think so far they've been proved right. When he's played, he's been outstanding. Thiago has been a bit, I wouldn't say hit and miss, but adapting to the pace of the Premier League and his lack of mobility. I mean, in terms of being able to sprint, he looks slow and on the recovery. Brilliant with the ball. But yeah, they have, like, they, you know, without going to the Origi, Minamino options, they've four really real top class attacking players. They've probably 6 or 7 adequate for midfield, probably 2 or 3 that are outstanding. And then for the back, they've lots of good options. We've seen the full back's position's been changed this year, and they've been competent there. And from an Irish point of view, they've got a very good reserve goalkeeper, even when the goalkeeper's missing now and again, as well as Adrian for the backup. So they seem well set for the challenge for all trophies this year. Liverpool, ultimately, I wouldn't call it that they're going to win the league, but signs are very good and the entertainment goes on, that's for sure, with them and crowds back in. What's the figure now? 28 goals this season in 9 league games. I think they were at, it was 27, isn't it? They were at 22 before the start of today's game. It's entertainment at its highest level. And as someone said to me, there's not a ticket to be got for a Liverpool match at the moment. There's no surprise the way they're playing.
Brian Kerr, pleasure. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks very much. Well done on your debut today.